listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, you can go to 1510wwbc.com and hit that listen live button. Get us on any one of your listening devices. And then, of course, the archive shows are also there. You can go onto the on-demand button. Of course, every single Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, then we share it on all of our social media, the pictures, and also the download of the show that you're able to download and share on any one of your platforms as well. And then we also have our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right. Today's going to be such a great show. I feel like I didn't even have to do a lot of research for today's show because the guests are people we can, you know, like-minded people.
Yep.
It's going to be great. So for our listeners who are tuning in today on our show for the first time, of course, we've got, Ellen, how much downloads are we getting now?
So I think 2 weeks ago, I didn't check last week, but 2 weeks ago we had 17,000 downloads last week. So 2 weeks.
People like us.
Yes, absolutely. But every week and every month, we gain new followers. We gain new folks that are downloading the shows. And it's cool because we have it on our social media and our website by name and also by topic. So when people go in and look for, you know, information specifically, they can find it by topic.
And, I've become like a, you remember the yellow pages, those big yellow books we used to have with phone numbers? I have become like a yellow page. People will call me and say, I need a mortgage company. I need an attorney. I need a plumber. I need an electrician. I need to write a book. And I'm like, what the? You know, maybe I should do a Sita's list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, the show has turned into that.
And certainly website has turned into that as well.
It's a Sita's list, all right.
Yep.
So for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time, Ellen O'Neill and myself sit here on Mondays and we heat up the airwaves with kitchen table topics. What we like to say, it's everyday stuff that people speak about around your kitchen table, whether it's writing a book, opening a business, jewelry, financial literacy, the environment, social justice, economic justice, running for office, politicians, whatever it is. Our show gives folks a platform to speak about something that they're passionate about. And today's no different, Ellen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've got a wonderful lady that's calling in from California, and I hope I don't butcher up her name. Her name is Bathsheba Lacto.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
She is the former dean and professor, College of Education at Silman University from the Philippines. She is retired, and she's written a book to give us some help about parenting. Her book is called The Joys and Tears of Parenting, and their tips for parents in the 21st century. And guess what? It's interactive. So we'll talk to her in a minute. And our second segment, our friend Shanetta Gordon, right, is here. And Shanetta has opened multiple businesses here in Brevard. Mainly, she's now making journals, jewelry,
fashion,
t-shirts.
I mean,
you name it, she tries it, right?
And so creative too. And I can't wait to give out her website and information about where you can find her.
And she looks great. I can't believe that her son is as old. Is as old as I think he is.
He's 41.
He is 41. You look great.
He keeps me young.
He does. And you know what? You're a good mom. You've raised
a
stellar kid there. Talk about raising kids. So let's go to our phones and talk to Dr. Bathsheba. So talk to us a little bit about yourself, Bathsheba, and what made you write this book? Because, you know, where were you when I had my young children and I needed to help and I was pulling my hair out?
Yeah. So, Sita, hi. Good morning to you and to the listeners of Viewpoint. Actually, please call me Chichi. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very easy.
Yeah. My journey started in the Philippines way, way back, and that was around 10 or 20 years ago where I started to write the book, The Joys and Tears of Parenting. I am excited to share my journey to you.
Yeah, I mean, so you left the Philippines. Did you have your children in the Philippines, or did you have them here in the United States?
Yes, in the Philippines, actually. They came here as young adults. And then the rest is history. So actually, I started to write the book in the Philippines. But since I was so busy, I wasn't able to finish it there. But I was able to finish it here only in the United States because there's a platform which is writer-friendly. And that's why I was able to complete it. My journey actually entails a lot of roller coaster ride because I was juggling multiple roles like a mother and a wife. I was also taking care of young children because they were still young at the time, you know, elementary and high school. And at the same time, I was also a career woman. I was connected at a university. And at the same time, I was also enrolled in a graduate school.
Yeah,
so
and you know,
difficult to finish the book.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussions right now in the United States with, can women have it all? I mean, can we be great at our jobs and can we be great at parenting? And a lot of women are looking for that balance. And I know it's very difficult to find that balance because women caregivers, we feel as though we've been pulled in so many directions. And sometimes you feel so inadequate that you're not given one side of this equation 100%. So talk to our listeners if that is something you experience and is that addressed in the book?
Yeah, actually, you can say that again, Sita. I'm glad that we're on the same page. But yes, it's possible for women to carry multiple roles, actually. And I did that. And I can say that I succeeded along that line. So that's women power, so to say. Yeah.
And so
truly,
So I'm sure while writing the book, you had to do a lot of reflections in your life as well, right?
Yeah, I did a lot of reflections. And of course, looking back at my own personal experience, as well as reading books about parenting. And of course, conversations with parents, because I did a lot of conversations with them. And these are former students and co-parents. And, you know, and out of that, I reflected that parenting really is the world's most important job. Yeah. And having said that, I also noticed that there is really no formal training for parents, right?
Yes. It doesn't come with a handbook. You know, when you give birth, it doesn't come with a handbook. When that baby comes out, whichever way,
you become a parent automatically. There is no, there are no instructions that come with it. And that, of course, I experienced that when I gave birth to my firstborn, actually Maybell. Oh my, I was overwhelmed. We were overwhelmed with my husband. But of course, we work as a team. My husband was so a very good team leader. But I was still overwhelmed, and I said, hey, wait a minute, is this what parenting is all about? It was really, we had a rough time, really. And of course, looking back, it was all worth it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's almost almost as though in the olden days, you know, when the grandparents and the parents will sit you down and, you know, you're telling somebody that you're in love and you want to get married. I know in our family that they would say, well, who is going to mind the child? Like, they want to know up front, who is going to raise this child? Who's going to stay home with the child? Who's going to have the financial support for this child? But in today's world, sometimes that's not possible because not everyone have a loving grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a parent to say, hey, let's sit down and talk about this life that you are planning to bring on planet Earth.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with you, Sita. But in our setting, in our context, it was a little bit different because my parents actually did not help us out, but we have nannies, because in the Philippines, we can afford actually nannies to take care of our kids, the first one and then the second one. I have only two kids, but now they are 42 and 39 years old, respectively. But when they were young, it was really tedious and frustrating at times. But we have nannies, and when we go to work, because both me and my husband were working, they take care of our young kids, of even the newborn. Yeah. And we didn't have our parents to take care of them, but we were able to survive. We managed somehow. And I like to go back to the discussion that being a career woman, it's actually a crazy, it's insane. And I could not imagine how I survived the role, the different responsibilities, but it was all worth it. Our kids are now grown up and they're doing very well.
Yeah.
What are some of the big tips that you have for parents these days in raising children? You know, after the whole pandemic that we had here in the obviously all over the world, like a lot of things changed. A lot of things changed. Parents had to accept different roles. They had to become more of a teacher role. And a lot of folks never decided to send their children back to school. So they become, basically teachers in their homes. So what are some of the tips that you could give? The joys and the tears of parenting, there's probably a lot more that have happened that have changed in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sita, thank you so much for that. I would like to share, because I coined the 5 P's of parenting, because it will sum up everything what I shared in that book. The number one, the 5 P's, so to say, the number one is that it takes a lot of patience. You know, when you're a parent, wow, it really tests your patience in caring for kids who are yet immature up to the time when they're 18 or 21. And then the next P is persistence. There is no room for quitting. Parents must never, never give up on their children, because we continue to love them even in their most unlovable moments. And the number three is, of course, presence. This is something that most parents, especially career women like me, really needed. So in spite of our busy schedule, we parents should creatively find time with our kids. And I would like to share in what way my book is interactive, because there are sections in the book where the parent and the child interact with each other. There are some suggestions, interactive suggestions. That's the number three is presence. Number four is parental guidance. So kids are yet immature and they need guidance from us, from teachers, and especially from us, whether in the choice of TV programs, in engaging in activities such as too much online gaming. I guess that's one of the problems that parents are facing now.
A lot of parents use the television screen as a babysitter.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you're touching on that topic, because it's not about the children having a choice. It's about the parent guiding the child to that choice.
Yeah, correct. It should be a conscious decision on the parents. And there should be some kind of regulation. So, but of course, we should be very consistent on that. So that is the number 40, which is parental guidance. We need a lot. They need a lot of this. And the number five, and for me, which is very powerful, is that of prayer. I am a Christian, and I believe in the power of prayer. Sita, let me share a personal experience, because every time our kids go to sleep, we pray over them, me and my husband, because we believe that it's some kind of a commitment on our part to make sure that our kids are okay and that they are taken care of, not only by us, but of course there is that divine intervention. So another one, of course, is that when we say parental guidance, is that, you know, I like to share this because my daughter, when she was only in grade six and sixth level, she really asked us, Mom and Dad, do you really quarrel? Because she has not seen us quarrel. And the reason for this is that we made a commitment me and my husband, to never quarrel in front of our kids. Never. So if ever we have some issues as husbands and wives, we go to our room or go somewhere else, and that's the time we discuss. But we never, never quarrel in front of them. Of course, today we can easily do that because they are 42 and 39 and they understand that we do have some issues as couples. But when they were young, we never do that. So that's one of the, probably it's some kind of our trade secret as parents, that we never engage in heated arguments, especially in the presence of our kids.
Yeah. And one of the things that my parents did, and I just want to share this, another personal experience, was we had 9 kids in our family, and I'm the youngest.
Wow.
And my parents always had date night. So
that's
I always
truly,
got to witness the way that my dad treated my mom, opening the car door and, you know, treating her nice and, you know, making sure that she walked down this, you know, that she had help walking down the stairs and all of those things that reminded me when I was getting ready to choose a mate of how to have that relationship. So, you know, as children, I remember as a child being like really impressed with that they were always, and it was the other part of it was we all had to be in bed by 7:30 because after 7:30 at night was adult time.
Right.
So it didn't matter how old we were, even in high school, we had to be in our rooms at 7:30 at night.
So, but Sheba, you know, to piggyback in off of that, you know, they say there's an expression that you must live by example. So if you set the example for your children that, you know, you
role
go to
modeling.
Bed, right, you go to bed at a certain time, you don't quarrel in front of your children. And most important, a lot of people don't want to pray, but they have spirituality. But I do believe in the power of prayer. I'm Hindu,
definitely.
You know, and we believe that, you know, God is watching over the universe, and every day when you wake up is a good day. So when you talk, I'm thinking as you speak that your book should be given to young couples before they get married. Have you explored speaking with the synagogues and the churches and the mosque and all these places? Because, you know, nowadays you see people get married and 3-4 years down the road after that big party, there's a divorce. And then the children are in the 50-50 situation, but parenting shouldn't stop. So how do we get your book in every single church in America or every single place where people could say, you know, that you really shouldn't fight in front of the children? I like what you said, that you find your own space.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm glad that you brought that out, Sita, because, well, our kids are still young, and we parents should be role models to them, right? So this is actually my advocacy, effective parenting, and I have been very passionate about this. Now, as to whether the book is available at Amazon, and my reach is very limited here in the United States, but I have some young people who are availing of the book way back in the Philippines, yes. They are also young parents. And they were my former students, and they are availing of the book and elsewhere. Okay, so I have some relatives and some friends and colleagues who are availing of the book. Now, aside from that, in our church, in the church I belong, there is I don't know if we call that as a ritual, but anyway, there is a pre-Cana seminar for would-be couple, I mean, those who are getting married. And that there is some kind of a training, but of course this is just a brief one. And I have conducted that in the Philippines, pre-Cana seminar for would-be couples, so that they are given some tips on how to take care of kids as soon as they have children. And of course it's more on their relationship as a couple, so that this will spill over to their own children later on. I mean, their relationship is that important, so that we can prevent, you know, divorce and, you know, the threat of a separation from parents. But of course, these are decisions of parents, which is beyond our control, right?
Right. So, what I'm hearing you say is sometimes people give advice to their children, but your children wouldn't follow your advice. They follow your example, right? They follow your example. You could tell them
correct.
To do a million things, but then if you Like you could say, oh, don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink alcohol. But then they see you drinking and smoking cigarettes. They'll, oh, wait a minute. You told me not to do it, but you're doing it, right? So it's all about setting that good example. But I just want our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends who are tuning in. We're speaking with Bathsheba Lakdo Chichi, who goes by Chichi. And she's a former dean and professor of the College of Education at Silliman University in the Philippines. And now, you were a dean, and I'm sure you saw so many times, like we see here in the United States, where there's something called a parent-teacher conference. And I have so many friends who are school teachers, and they would set that classroom up and get the desk ready, and they will wait on those parents, those wonderful parents who birthed these children, to show up in their classrooms. And oftentimes, parents don't show up, and the teacher is left with... The teacher could count on her fingers which parents are going to show up, because there's some parents, for whatever reason, maybe a second job, maybe they just didn't get the information. But it's really heartbreaking when you don't have that partnership between the parent and the teacher to guide this child. As a dean, did you see that sort of things in the Philippines or even here in the United States?
Yeah, the same too. I'm glad that you brought that out, because actually we should start early training and not when they are in college, because I'm handling the tertiary level students. This is from 18 years old to 19 years old, but I would like to call attention to parents who are still in the elementary school or in the preschool, so that young as they are, these parents could already be given some tips on how to handle their children, you know, developmental milestones and the problems related to growing up. When they're at college, yes, we do speak to some parents, especially if there are only when there are problems. But preventive guidance is that we should give it, it should be made available to parents before a problem occurs. So it's more on preventive in nature. So I believe that the younger the child, the parents of children, young children, the better it is. So we start them young. When they're already 12 or 13, that's rather late to talk to parents.
Yeah, you sound like my dad. Yeah. My dad used to say, if you know, I'm one of 18. My parents had 18 children. My dad had four children before he met my mom.
Yeah.
Then my mom had my mom had four before she met my dad. My dad had seven before he met my mom, and then together they had seven more. So we had had a very challenging childhood. We really wasn't tucked into bed. I mean, it was four or five people in one bed, and you know, we're lucky if we had a coverlet in the night and stuff like that. But we grew up, and poverty made us stronger. But I do know that my father would say to us that once the stick is bent, it's very hard to straighten it. And he would, you know, tell us these things, like, in other words, listen to your parents. And, you know, if you listen to your parents, you fare well in life and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to ask you, you were saying that you, with good parenting, you don't go to bed upset. How do we tell young people today that is something that is so very important? Because when you go to bed upset, I know my parents went to bed upset oftentimes because it was a lot of financial issues and so many stepchildren, and it was a rough time for us. And I would hear them in the night arguing or fighting, and there was domestic violence and all this. And you're so right, because in the morning, those of us who were able to go to school, not all of us had uniforms and books and shoes and things to go to school, but you would go to school upset. And you cannot function because now you're concerned about what's happening at home, and you don't fit in because you're not a normal kid at that point. So how do we tell people today in the greatest nation on earth that try to do these things that you're telling them? Try not to go to bed upset, right?
Yeah. Well, we should start early training, that our kids should be trained that whenever they have some issues, like anger, temper tantrums, they should not go to bed with it. So the younger, the better. Now, for young people, like teenagers nowadays, the parents should be there, and we can also ask the teacher to chip in. So it takes a whole village to raise a child. So not only the parent, but of course there may be some friends who can tell them that it's not healthy and it's not wholesome to go to bed angry. But of course that happens. We are only human beings, and that may happen. So for me, we should start early training.
Right, and I noticed in your book, you chose, you carefully chose selected biblical passages. And that combination of the biblical verses that you chose creates such an inspirational reading experience for the family. You're offering so much wisdom to young people. And it's not just for this generation. It's for other generations, because you took your personal experience, the experience of what you saw, and you put in the Bible verses that you think would be rewarding for someone who reads this book. So talk to us how you put that all together. It's just beautiful. It's like a garden filled with flowers, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's also a prayer at the beginning, prayer for parents. And then, of course, at the end, it's prayer by parents for their children, something like that at the end, towards the end. And then, of course, there are a little of biblical passages weaved into, of course, there are some developmental theories on child rearing practices, and my own personal experience, our own personal experience, weave into one book. I hope that this has, made this more interesting by the listeners. I hope to invite them.
Well, I'll tell you what's very interesting is the way you have the interactive part in the book, and you're encouraging the parent and the child to use that provided space that you have in the book.
Correct.
So that you could foster a wonderful parent-child bond while they read the book, which is really good because you're listening to each other, which oftentimes in the culture I come from, the parents ruled, the children didn't get a say. But I like that you're passionate about what's called effective parenting.
Yeah, correct. That's right. So can I call now an invitation for...
Yes, absolutely.
For listeners out there.
Before you do that, give us the website where we can find your book, where all listeners can go and check it. And then if you would like to do a prayer or invocation, of course
you can. And then our friend that's in studio with us, Shanetta Gordon, had a question for you, actually.
Yeah, she can.
Sita actually asked the question already. I was going to ask you to talk a little bit about the interactive part. Me, myself, being a very young mother, I had my children at 14, 16, 18, and 21, so there was really no book. The doctor said, push, the baby came, and instantly I'm a parent. But so growing up with my children, but that interactive part, hearing the heart of the children, I've learned is very important because I'm assisting with raising my grandchildren. So your book sounds like a great lend.
I hope. Yeah, I'm also a grandparent myself. I'm raising my grandchild, 4-year-old grandchild, and she's one of my inspirations in writing the book.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, you very challenging, you know, what you went through and how you help us. So I think Ellen wants to say something really quick.
Well, I was just saying I'm ready for your call out. So ask our listeners and give us your website and information on how we can find the book and get it out to everyone in the world.
Yes.
So I'm inviting all parents from varied backgrounds to consider equipping themselves. And, I would like to quote Stephen Covey when he said that we have to begin with the end in mind. So as parents, what is the goal we have in mind? To be empowered parents, to create a healthier home, fostering family connections, or to contribute to a safer and better society through our kids? This is a challenge which requires action. So visit us in our Facebook fan page at The Joys and Tears of Parenting. And I can be reached at my email, Dr. Chichi Lakdo at thejoysandtearsofparenting.com. And of course, the book is available at Amazon. Just type in the title of the book, or better still, type my name, Bathsheba Lakdo. But of course, you can call me Chichi. And it will display my three books I authored. The two are Dad's Healing Journey and The Earth's Best Friend. And this is still related to my other advocacy, because advocacy is on effective parenting, and the other one is on integrating values in the classroom and integrating values at home.
Chi-Chi, you know, when I listen to you, when I listen to you, Chi-Chi, I feel like we need you to live for 50 more years. Because you have found your purpose in life, and it's so enlightening, and it's so rewarding to find people that want to give back to our universe. Oh. And you got to pass that torch onto that lovely daughter of yours, because you're making me think like we need more Chi-Chis in the world. And Shanetta is shaking her head, and so is Ellen.
That's true.
We do, because not everybody takes the experience as an educator and four decades of experience and put it in such a unique way for others to learn from. You are the person that so many people want in their life, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
and we're going to share your website as well as the information on where to get your book. I found it on all three of your books, actually, on Amazon.com, which I know kind of trickles out into the other booksellers of the world, but everything was very easy to find, and I'll make sure that we post it on all of our website and social media information. But we are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. Thank you so much for Chi-Chi for joining us today on the airwaves here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We're going to be right back after these messages.
And Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. John Koff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We just had a really robust segment with Dr. Bathsheba Chi-Chi, who called in from California.
That's
We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and Ellen, we're heard worldwide.
We are on 1510, WWBC.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we're also archive our shows and put a post up with all of everything to be downloaded on SitaMediaInc.com and all of our social media channels, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I would like to give a shout out to our great friends at Jotkoff Financial for sponsoring this first segment with Chi-Chi.
You know what? A lot of our friends and family wants us to take our show in a different direction, which is more of giving advice and guidance to people who found a lot of people who found their purpose in life, right? And we aim to leave the earth a better place than we found it. That's our role as older, wiser, bolder women and men, right? So, Chi-Chi, before you go off air, you wanted to share a quotation with our listening audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and take it away.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me, Ellen. A quote that is worth sharing here from an unknown author is, and I quote, "The frightening part about heredity and environment is that we parents provide for both." So this is something to reflect on, dear listeners, whether you're a parent or not. My personal theory on parenting is preventive is key. That's all. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration.
Thank you so much for taking the time to call in with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
My pleasure.
All right.
And we will make sure that all that information is shared. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're so excited to get to our next guest, Shanetta Gordon, a good friend of ours for a very long time, a serial entrepreneur here in Brevard County, very creative.
A serial or serious?
Cereal. She's because she's done so many. Well, not cereal like Fruit Loops, cereal like many.
So talk to us. You're here. You look gorgeous. And you know, I was just saying that I think Tavares raised you.
I believe, you know, honestly, he was my my pilot kid.
Yeah.
They, you had him at 14.
I was 14, 16, 18, and 21 when I gave birth.
You look
great. I was.
God has blessed you beyond your imagination. You know,
that.
When I was talking to you this morning, Shanetta Gordon, you were quoting scripture as though you belong in a church. I was like, what on earth? But, you know, it's divine intervention, right? Because I was supposed to have another guest. And then I woke up this morning and whose Facebook post popped in my feed? Shanetta. And I said, I'm gonna reach out to her. So welcome to our show.
Tell our listeners
a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Shanetta Gordon. I am the mother of four and the grandmother of 15. I am excited about what I see God doing in my life. I was explaining to Sita this morning that the journey has definitely not been easy. But at 56, I can excitedly say that I survived being a young mother growing up in the environment and the situation. But it inspired me to own my own company. Because when you have your children, it feeds back on where I am now. Having your children so young, I heard what society said my potential outcome was going to be. You know, that young woman that is on welfare, who is blankly laying on her back, this is how she's going to survive. She's not going to make much out of herself. But God has opened up a door. I have earned my bachelor's. I have a minor in accounting. And I enjoy life, no matter where it is. Currently unemployed, working in the business side of it, but able to really pour into my own businesses. So the two that really have been my growth spurt is doing the jewelry line, which I told Sita this morning. I got up and I've been pushing it out there because I had stopped. Having people reach out to me saying, when are you going to start it again? And making every excuse, God say, you're done with the excuses. Now let's get it done. But building in 2020, the jewelry business is down now because
Amazon.
You have the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to I need another stream of income. So I had to really think about what could I do. I started doing the T-shirts. And from the T-shirts, I am a Renaissance artist. everything under the sun started
to
hit.
You are so creative.
So,
I'm so creative.
That's been the journey, starting it out. But what I wanted to share in the beginning, where we were talking about the biblical side of it, I was explaining that if you see me on a day-to-day, you should not be able to tell my political affiliation. My political affiliation should not be the first thing that you see when you encounter me. But you should always be able to tell that I'm a Christian, because it's by that Christian walk that I've survived everything that I've been through and I'm still standing. And, you know, they talk about you shouldn't, I thank God I don't look like what I've been through. And when I think about that.
Hey, a train wreck. And here's the thing, you know, you touch on so many facets of life there with having a child at 14, then 16.
18 and 21.
And 21. Single mom. Thank you, God, for the people who pay taxes and that tax dollars is used for food stamps and Section 8 and Medicaid and to help moms, because your son, T, which I know personally.
Tavares, yes.
Works hard. You have given America four beautiful children who are now given back. So you're right. The naysayers, the people who stomp on women and put them in a different category, it's wrong.
Thank you.
And you are living proof of that.
I thank God for my mom. Mm-hmm. Let me. I have to give her credit because she found out when I was 7.5 months pregnant that I was pregnant. I was running track. I ran track. I went mountain climbing. My brother, who was in the military, he paid for me to take a 7-day trip, 7 days, seven states. And I did all of these things. I wore like 6 and 7 girdles. I was running track. And a neighbor pointed out I was looking full, but I always wore full clothing. And my mom found out, and she mortgaged her home within 24 hours because the doctor said back then, 40 years ago, we won't touch her without $1,000. I never saw my mother cry, not once. She welcomed my son. She helped raise my children, you know. So I was truly blessed. I have to give my mom her credit.
It sounds, Shanetta, like faith played a very important role in your life, because at some point you have to say, God, help me here, right? I mean, I know for myself, I have an empty seat in my car, my passenger seat, and my Lord Krishna is in there. And people would think I'm mad sometimes, because I'm like, hey, we need to do this today, right? And you know, you talk to them, right? Yes. To me, it's in my heart. Lord, God lives in my heart, right?
Yes.
And for you, when did you get that reckoning moment and you say, something, you got to help me here, Father?
My fourth kid, my fourth child, I'm looking at my life and the direction it's going. And when I was in school, when I was running track, everyone expected the Olympics for me. I mean, because I was holding first and second place. I broke records when I was in school. But that's not what God's plan was. That's truly. So at my fourth child, I was like, we're done. I want to get all these names out, Lord, so you can stop selecting me to be somebody's mom. And so I, at that point, had to make some decisions. And my family had grown. But I woke up one day, and my daughter had suffered second and third degree burns over 30% of her body. And I was working at this company with great opportunity. But I wanted more, and I had the opportunity to move to Atlanta. There's a movie called Sabrina with Harrison Ford, and she talks about America is her birthplace, but Paris is truly her home. And that's what Atlanta did, because for an African-American woman, where I was in my life, when I moved to Atlanta, the opportunities that opened up for me, I was able to work in the hotel industry in the Olympic period. I worked in the hotel industry for 8 months, and I was offered the opportunity to become an assistant GM of the Holiday Inn Express. These were things that changed who I was, because, again, my skin tone said that who I was, my background said who I was, but Atlanta gave me opportunities that I didn't feel I could experience. So when I came back, I was ready. I hit the boots running. I came back challenging my children, and you're right, Tavares raised me. Yeah. My son began to fail in school, and I asked him what's wrong one day, and he said, Mom, I want you to come home. I miss you. And out of all the other children, I would have heard their voice. But I'm looking at this straight A student who was struggling, and I realized he was missing his mom. Yeah. My mom was doing everything she could.
So they were here.
They were here.
Yeah.
So for 3.5, 4 years, they were here. I would see him every other month. But when I became homeless in Atlanta, and it was a whole lot going on, but they were my drive. But when Tavares said that.
You came home.
I came home.
Yeah.
Literally, I turned in my resignation that day. I called my brother.
He
did. I called my brother. My brother said, I will buy you a one-way plane ticket. My brother's name is Werner Renard Primus.
This is
I love
brother
him.
That helped you disguise a pregnancy.
Well, he didn't know. My brother didn't know.
We
he probably would have killed me.
My brother probably would have killed me.
My brother retired as a command sergeant major. I think 31 years in the military. He supported me through it all. But I'm telling you, when he said it, my brother said, I will buy you a one-way ticket home. But you have to make sure that this is what you want, because I'm not doing round trip. I got on that plane and I never looked back. But Tavares, really, the teacher said, there's no way you're going to get him to pull his grades up. I told him I would give him $20. I came home, hit the ground running. Boots on. I got to take care of my kids. I told him, I said, son, I'll give you $20 for every A. The teacher said, there's no way he's going to turn his grades around. Before the end of the year, my son was back at being a straight A student.
And look where he is today. He never stops working.
So one of those five P's is being present. And what Chi Chi had spoken about,
yes.
about in her book. And, you know, we don't always talk about the challenges that life gives us. Like being pregnant at 14 is not something that anybody would ask for, you know, to wake up in the morning and say, I think this is what I'm going to do. But it certainly teaches you how to overcome obstacles,
yes.
and how to challenge yourself and realize that everything with God is an amazing journey.
Well, everything happens for a reason.
Well, absolutely. You can certainly call it that, too.
Well, so you transitioned from that. You got your bachelor's degree. The kids are grown. And then you went into
designing
jewelry.
Yes.
So talk to our listening audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Where you got your inspiration for that?
Let's go back to the kids again. That's where I got. Well, so I came back,
like
got
that's
my degree.
That's huge.
So I got my degree, worked at Harris for 10 years, got my degree. Thank God for Harris paying for that degree. But my kids, I challenged them continually. But one of the things that I battled with was low self-esteem, right? Making
Hush.
The same decision.
You're like the fifth woman who is... beautiful, refined, exquisite, articulate, that have said that to me this week.
Yes.
What is with this self-esteem and the, it's got to be, we got to fix that.
It was, I felt like I was the ugly duckling. I felt like I was unvalued. There was no value to me. Where was I going to go? I mean, I'm this mother with these kids. And so I decided to, my drive was to bring that beauty out of the woman. I said, okay, if this woman felt that she was this ugly duckling, if I designed a piece for her, that could make her stand out. If she got one compliment, just one. You know, today somebody saw me for other than what I feel I look like on the outside. So my drive was, one day I stood in the mirror in Atlanta and I introduced myself to me. Who are you? And I had to realize that maybe you don't feel like you look like that award-winning chick on the outside, but build from the inside. You have an award-winning personality. Build from that. Let people see that light that shines there.
Yeah. And so that motivated you. Like
that
if
did.
You, if you looked in the mirror and you saw a queen, you're going to make a piece of jewelry
for
a queen.
That's right.
Right. If you were driving and you saw a beautiful blue ocean, hey, I feel like that. I'm going to make a blue piece. But that's such a good way to get that feeling out of your system.
Yes.
And share it with so many people. Like Ellen here, she likes music. You'd make something with a guitar. I like to talk, and I found my niche. You talk on the radio.
Here we are.
But, you know, you're so right. And, you know, did you find that there were a lot of people that tried to stop you from accomplishing that? Because when you have low self-esteem, people get to you.
They do.
And they'll say, girl, don't do that. It's not going to help you. But
they do.
You've got to find your purpose, right?
Listen, my mom, I always wanted her to see me. I always say my brother was the favorable one. But I always wanted her to see me. So I would always run to her with every piece I felt like I made. I wanted someone
to
see that validation. Now, I didn't get that from my mom. I didn't. So I just kept looking for that one person that would simply believe in me. And Sita, you know what? How can someone believe in you when you don't believe in yourself?
Yep.
That one person was me. I had to believe in
me. Say that again, because there's so many people right now in the United States of America that need to understand that a marriage don't fix you.
No.
A boyfriend don't fix you.
No.
A girlfriend don't fix you.
Having a baby.
A best friend
doesn't
fix
you.
A baby. What fixes you and your mental health and your state is you.
Having a date with God.
Oh, that's so profound.
One of the reasons I
me
started
and my
the
Lord
journals.
Krishna,
yeah.
Right? Even Danny is shaking his head. I think Danny would like you to talk.
I just think, it's all the same guy. They just did different hobbies.
Yeah,
ours was a carpenter.
Yes.
You know.
And
now where would you like?
Warrior.
So you're doing the designs again. Where do you see your company growing in the next few years?
Around the world.
Yes.
I always say, whether I send a piece to my, so I have a piece that went over to Switzerland. I have, so literally around the world, but building blocks. I want to really push it on Amazon. And coming from behind my fears, everyone keeps saying, Shanetta, start that Etsy page. And I'm like, why have you not started the Etsy page? So I'm working on my Etsy site, and I'm doing drop shipping now. So drop shipping does take a lot of the weight off, because I'm not doing the physical work myself. I'm putting the designs together. But I would say the building block is being able to have the supplies and also put it out on Amazon, like the journals Amazon. So my Facebook business page will be established by next week. That's my benchmark, my goal.
Yeah.
And going back to my website, I thank God for Cynthia Dale. She poured into me. She built my jewelry website. So those are some of the platforms that I really need to just spend this time before going back into a work industry, getting my websites and everything together. So
So what is up and running right now? Tell our listeners
my jewelry,
out there.
Yeah, ShanettaJewelry.com.
Shanetta Jewelry.
And you can reach me on Facebook. My name on Facebook is Shanetta Neal. So those are the, and you can contact me via my phone. So text me at 321-586-6062 and always DM me on my Facebook page.
So you have a lot of talents, gifts, and abilities to move mountains if you really wanted to. What type of artist would you categorize yourself as? Because you're also doing the T-shirts, the journaling.
And don't forget.
The jewelry.
I upscale tires and turn them into foot ottomans.
Tires. Like car tires?
Car tires.
Well, yes. Let's talk about the journaling before we run into that now. My goodness. So the journaling, like Danny here likes to fish. Ellen
right?
likes music. I like to dance. I like my curry chicken and rice. I like people. I found my niche. I love when people are happy and positive.
Right.
Because then it reflects on me too.
Right.
I don't like negativity. I think God gave us these beautiful eyes to wake up every day.
Yes.
And be so grateful to be part of this human experience on planet Earth. Like, why be negative, right?
That's exactly right.
So what about the journals? How is that?
How is exactly what she said. The journals, they honestly take you to all those different places. The way I design my journals is based on the person, like you said, Danny Fisher's. So why not put together something where he's able to schedule out his time and he can even talk about his feelings while fishing? You know, it's that essence of still spending time with God, still spending time with self, putting that in your journal and finding your legacy, because the journal in itself is your legacy. You're jotting.
It's your word. It's your spoken
yes.
word.
And you don't have to hide from who you are in your own space. If you're true to yourself, write what you feel. Write the vision, Becca too. Write the vision and make it plain. And that's what the journaling does. How my journals differ, because they're tailored to the person's desires. You like music, the sheets can have music on them. you like, what did you
like?
She likes music.
Yes,
like
I'm like
music.
And
she
like
likes dancing and cooking. So
and,
everyone
and speaking,
should have a recipe.
Right?
Yeah.
So you
and
have
my grandchildren. My grandchildren are my, the breath that I take.
You like them better than the kids,
sure,
I know.
I do, I sure do.
So before I get killed, though, the names of my children are Tavares, Devris, Kiasha, and Rivka, because I want all of them. You know, they are going to put my nursing home, and they better not put me in one, right?
Right.
And they
well, if they are, if they do go to one where Seed is working.
Yeah, and Shanetta Gordon, your children, though, they have made you who you are.
They are. My daughter.
And Rudy, too. Rudy, you didn't want to forget Rudy there. Yeah.
My daughter, my oldest daughter, I have four, two boys, two girls. My oldest are my boys. But my daughter, actually, I think she was like 32, 33 when she finished her doctoral degree. When you think about it, I looked at myself as a Rahab, going through a Rahab experience. Who would have ever thought through my lineage that I would birth out a child that is doing these things? Tavares has been in the medical field for 15 years. He's an occupational therapist. My son he worked at Coco, the city of Coco, but now is a corrections officer.
Say
his
name
is Devris.
You know he's going to get mad.
Devris.
His name.
You know, Rivka. I say she's finding herself, but that one, she reminds most of me. She's working at Checkers.
There's always
she's
one.
That mom. That Rivka. She's that baby. She's that mama's baby. She is.
You know what I'm thinking
Kiasha,
as you're talking? I'm thinking Danny said we have 2 minutes. Why don't you do like a ladies' luncheon and invite people to come to a luncheon and have the jewelry there for sale?
I would love to. You know,
that's
a good thought.
Rudy, get busy with that phone, man. Look up some venues for her. Because the thing is, unless you try, nothing happens, right?
Exactly.
Ellen will play music. I'll come there and I'll bring a few friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people could give you orders, like what they want that day, what kind of jewelry.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because I think we should help each other, right?
Absolutely.
You've been you've supported our show. This is our 15th year. And
Wow. It's
so wonderful to see people that came on the show years ago that's bright and shiny and still doing more things.
Yes.
Now, the tires before we go. What are you doing with these tires?
Oh, let me thank God for friends.
Yes.
So a friend of mine, I called Rudy this morning really quick and said, hey, I need to get somewhere. He was such a dear, dropped what he was doing to assist me in getting here to UCITA.
Yes.
Yay.
So, but the tires. So what I do is I take tires. I clean them up. Because I believe that we should also use what the earth has already produced. I clean them up really good, and I design custom-made ottomans, foot ottomans, whether it's sport ottomans, but you have storage inside. I'm designing ottomans and chairs out of buckets. So
it's so cool.
It's a lot of different things that God has poured in. I'm a Renaissance artist.
I was just going to say that the folks that we've had on have been really good about recycling and like reusing
the
and
earth.
Repurposing
things
that, you know, that are not going to biodegrade. You know, tires are not going to biodegrade.
So
they're just going to be in the landfill. So thank
God. Give us the website one more time, or if somebody wanted to contact you. And Shanetta, if you plan this luncheon in a few months at a great place, people will come. But you've got to let us help you do it.
Okay. So what I'll plan on doing, and this is my my agreement with me, I'm going to create a website specifically for the next chapter. But they can reach out to me at Shanetta Neal on Facebook. And there I will post all the upcoming information, so I'll be available through that. My phone number again is 321-586-6062.
What a fantastic day, Sita.
It
and
is.
Great
I
episode.
Like shows like this where, because we're all so connected, it's easy. I mean, what is our role, right? Earthly journey called life. That's all it is.
That's right.
And whoever don't believe that, they better start opening their eyes and ears, because that's all it is. It's an experience.
Thank you all for having me. It's been an amazing experience. Once again, I can say I love you.
And
you can't do anything about it.
That's right. And you can't change that.
A quick scripture.
Hey. God. It's awesome. Thank you so much, Sita, again, once again, and Shanetta for joining us today, and Chi-Chi for calling in from California. We have always experienced great things here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Make sure to tune in each and every Monday afternoon here Eastern Central Time, 1 p.m. on 1510 WWBC.